Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm glad that you could join me. And as I was waiting before the Lord and asking what He would have me to share with you, the Lord brought to mind some truths out of 1 Kings, the 18th and 19th chapters. And in those portions of Scripture, we find that the prophet Elijah was preaching to a stiff-necked, idolatrous nation. Their fathers had seen all the miracles that God had done in the land of Egypt. And do you remember when he rallied the Baal prophets, and they spent all day crying out to their God, and he declared, "Let the God that be God, let him answer by fire." And so when all of Israel was gathered around, and when they saw the fire come down out of heaven to burn up the water-drenched sacrifice that Elijah had put upon the altar, they cried out, "Oh, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." But even at that tremendous demonstration, which was quite spectacular, it forced them to acknowledge God's power, but still He did not become their God. And I think that was probably one of the reasons Elijah was so depressed and went and hid in a cave, because it did not produce the revival that he had been so earnestly praying and seeking for. And then when Elijah was on Mount Horeb, he experienced personally a fierce wind, splitting of the rocks, earthquake and fire. And these were all powerful, visible, fearful manifestations of God's might and vengeance. Yet, what does the scripture say? The Lord was in the still, small voice. And going now to the New Testament, you remember the rich man in Hades, and he was begging God that his brothers would be warned. But Abraham said that if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that the one rose from the dead. And so when you think of all these things, we have to acknowledge and realize that truly one of the most wonderful gifts that God has given to man is his free will. And it's in the very nature of our being that we are not to be coerced by external means or force. I mean, it's true over the generations, man has been forced by man to do things, but basically the inner part of man would not be willing. So it's really the very essence of man, the being of man, makes the choice. Yet again, it's that matter of free will. A man's decisions and the actions that he takes to be truly valuable have to be self-motivated or self-generated. That's why so often external things, force, it doesn't produce lasting effects, because there's not an agreement with the inner person, with the inner being, if you understand what I'm saying. So the Lord has helped me to understand with greater clarity that that still small voice is the voice of the Lord speaking directly to our spirits, but also in a more subtle way, it's the conscience that God has given to every man, and that conscience will lead him to God as well as in the paths of righteousness. Man is moved by the inner motivation of the heart, whether it's good or evil, not by external constraints. Only love, and God's perfect love, His agape love, can break down the hardness of man's heart. And it's possible for every one of us, our heart, to get hardened by the things that we experience in this earthly realm. But my prayer is that for you and for me and for all of God's people, that we will have the wisdom and love of God that will penetrate the cynicism and the godlessness that we see in this present world age, and be able to reach out to those, all those souls that are yet to be saved, all that good seed that God is destined for His kingdom, and that we will truly be that city set upon a hill, that light which is not put under a bushel, that we will be able to speak forth the truth of God's word and reap the harvest that is just white and ready, waiting to be reaped. But beloved, it's all a matter of surrender, of giving our lives to God. And according to Ecclesiastes, we have a scheduled time to be born and die. God has a timetable. Ben Franklin said, time cuts down small and great alike. But the best way to avoid premature death is by following God's plan and not your plan for your life. In other words, to pray as Jesus prayed, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. And as we look at Scripture, I'd like to share just a little bit of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 and following. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and of course, verse 11 talks about that foundation, no other man can lay, that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And in verse 13, it goes on to say, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, it really does make a difference, the choices that we make with our will, the things that we determine to do, what foundation we're building on, how you use your time. And beloved, it's so easy to get distracted today, to let all manner of things take you away from God's priorities for you. Remember Jonah? He was distracted by his own opinions, his own ideas. He was a prophet of God. God told him to do something, but he wanted to be on his own schedule. He ran away and he ended up in a whale's belly. But God wants for us joy and laughter. That's why he created the feast. They were a time of joy, of feasting, of dancing. But there's a timing, and we have to put God first in this substance we have, in this privilege, this arena of time, that we have to make him first in that area as well. Remember in the 3rd chapter of Acts, there was a set time of prayer that Peter and John went to the temple. And in Acts 10 and 4, it talks about Cornelius. At 6 a.m., it was the hour of prayer, and he was faithful to that. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, they had 10 days of prayer, and then the day of Pentecost fully came. And Moses, remember when his parents saw he was a goodly child, they didn't do it. The Egyptians, the king had said, and they put him in the river, and the crocodiles didn't get to him. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. He was on God's schedule. And we all need to commit to living a life on God's schedule. And look at, that's what Jesus did. It talks about they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. And God was looking out for Paul, that his life was not taken before the appointed time. In Revelation, there's 144,000 that they won't be found in spite of today's technology. In John, the 7th chapter, verse 6, Jesus said, my time has not yet come. In fact, let me just read that. That's John 7 and 6. Jesus said unto them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. So our time and our schedule can be dangerous. In Matthew, he talks about in the fourth chapter, there's a description of the temptation of Jesus. And the devil did everything he could. He tried his best, but Jesus stayed on schedule. He refused to give in to those temptations. He could have had he done what the devil requested, bowed down and worshiped him, he could have had all the kingdoms of this world, which were his. But Jesus was going to do it the right way by an obedience to his Father, and then have everything put under his feet. In the later chapters of Matthew, Matthew 27, it talks of him being stripped, crowned with thorns. In John 7 and 5, it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him. He was rejected and despised of men," Isaiah 53 talks about. And in John, the 21st chapter, verse 18, God talks to Peter, and he says, "When you're old, you will stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry whither thou wouldest not." So even though he was a mature man at that time, he knew, even when he was in prison, that he still had time because God had a work for him. He had some epistles to write, and so he promised him a long life, that he would be, in his age, he would be bound and taken whither he didn't want to go. So, beloved, it's important we stay on God's time schedule. Praise God. And I just want to pray, if we could, as we come to near the conclusion of this broadcast. Father, in the moments that remain, I just do want to pray for all that are listening. Lord, that we would be willing to be surrendered to you, that we'd be willing to follow your schedule, your plan, your timetable for our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your protection, your divine covering that is over your people. Lord, let it be as a shield of protection round about them, that no harm shall come. And Lord, that you will lead them in the paths of righteousness. I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, "My beloved, I will not lead you into any path that my grace cannot keep you. Therefore, hold fast to my hand, and don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, and know that as you have set the Lord always before you, that you will not be moved from the paths of righteousness, for you will not turn to the right nor to the left. I will give you sensitivity to understand the motivations of the heart, and you shall discern in situations the Spirit in operation, as you ask me, and I shall give you the needed wisdom for the moment. Wait on the Lord, for promotion comes from me, as it is written. I know the desires of your heart. Seek me first, delight yourself in me, and I shall not only give you the desires of your heart, but overflowing abundance that you shall greatly rejoice in. I have plans to bless you that you cannot even comprehend at the present," says the Lord. Praise God. Well, what a marvelous word to end this broadcast on. Amen. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. I trust you love him with all your heart. I do. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.